We're discussing a nationwide push to advance women police officers on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. About 12% of our nation's police officers are women, and that number, it hasn't budged in decades. That's according to a National Institute of Justice special report from 2019. Dozens of police departments across the country and a handful here in Wisconsin have signed on to the 30 by 30 pledge. We're going to talk about it. Are you a woman in law enforcement? What gender-related challenges do you face? What advice do you have for other women who walk in your footsteps? It's 800-642-1234. Sabrina Sims is a detective with the Dane County Sheriff's Office and president of the Wisconsin Association of Women Police, which has more than 200 members. Sabrina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. We also have Maureen McGough with us, who is Chief of Strategic Initiatives for the Policing Project at New York University School of Law, co-founder of 30 by 30, this nationwide effort to increase women in law enforcement. Mo, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, give us big picture first, Mo, if you will. How would you characterize efforts to increase women in law enforcement from a national perspective?
So I would say we're at a pretty historic moment. There have been pushes to increase the representation of women historically. I think sort of the zeitgeist for police reform after the police murder of George Floyd has really made it clear that the status quo is no longer tenable. And the research is really growing to support the unique value of women officers. So those particular things coming together, I think, provides us with a really unique opportunity.
Research is growing, I understand. But it's interesting that you point out there is a research gap. You don't even know how much women want to enter the law enforcement field. And I found that really interesting. What are the blind spots there as you try to improve representation?
The blind spots are many, but I will say this. I think there are blind spots in many aspects of policing overall. And what we're seeing with the research on women in policing is it all tends to trend in a very particular direction that underscores the unique value of women officers. So we're really confident that the more we do this work, the more we're able to improve the representation of women in policing, we'll be able to evaluate their impact over time.
So, Sabrina, you joined the Dane County Sheriff's Office in 2001 and rose to the rank of detective. First of all, why did you enter law enforcement?
You know, when I was in college, really is where my interest started in taking criminal justice and sociology classes and my interest in criminal law. I've always been a caretaker and wanted to help others. And I just, I moved to Wisconsin into the Madison area, and the Dane County Sheriff's Office caught my eye because it's a larger agency. And, you know, there's just a lot of opportunity within a law enforcement agency of that size. There's a lot of different areas you can work in law enforcement. It's not always in a patrol car. Ultimately, my goal was to become a detective, and that's what I do now, and I absolutely love my job. It allows me to get in the community and help people, and it just feels really good when you can do something for others.
Okay, this is interesting because you've been on the inside then for decades and seen the culture on the job. How has it changed or not for you and other women and their experiences over the decades?
It definitely has changed. Some things are the same, right? But I think overall, just in my experience, it's been challenging to see the climate overall in the United States, really, over the last few years change. And not just, not one particular thing, but I think that our country is challenged. And also that means the profession of law enforcement is challenged. And I think just having different women in law enforcement throughout my career as mentors has helped me get me where I am today. And I hope that as we continue to have these conversations and make it known and educate the public of where we're at as women in law enforcement, I think we can continue to, gain traction and recruit more women to join the force. because I do think we bring a unique perspective to the job.
We're going to get more into that. I'm talking with Sabrina Sims, president of the Wisconsin Association of Women Police. Mo McGough here, co-founder of the 30 by 30 initiative to increase women in law enforcement. You can join in 800-642-1234. So Mo, let's go deeper into the 30 by 30 program and explain, you co-founded it in 2018. How does the program work?
Great question. So I co-founded this with Captain Yvonne Roman, who's now retired from the Newark Police Department. And our goals are very simple, but we think imminently achievable. The first is to reach 30% representation of women in police recruit classes by the year 2030. The second is to really deeply explore assessments, policies, and procedures in police departments across the country to identify how they might better support the success of women officers. And the third is to really address policing agency culture and ensure that police departments are places where women and other diverse officers don't just survive, but thrive. The way we're doing that is we're proactively engaging law enforcement agencies around the country through our 30 by 30 pledge, which is a series of no and low cost actions they can take in the immediate term that we are very confident will improve the representation of women across ranks and improve the experiences of women that are currently working in the department.
Oh, so what would be a low hanging fruit there? What would be a no cost or low cost change that a police department or a law enforcement agency could implement right away?
Such a great question. So there's two that come to mind that we encourage agencies to do within the first 6 months of signing the pledge. And both of these were surfaced in that 2018 national summit that led to the 2019 report that you mentioned out of the U.S. Department of Justice. The first is ensuring equipment and uniforms are specifically designed for the proportions of a woman officer. So we've heard horror stories about women having to go on patrol in ballistic resistant vests that are made for men, for example, down to having to tailor uniform pants because they're not designed for women's bodies. So that's one area where people can make an immediate improvement. And the second is designating a clean, hygienic, private space for nursing mothers who are returning to the workplace to pump. You know, we heard stories of women having to find dark alleys and pumping in their cruisers, or having to pump in public bathrooms. And failing to provide those spaces for women sends a signal that the agency doesn't understand or respect their needs, and we're really trying to change that.
That's interesting, too, because policing is still shift work. It's a shift work profession, which poses a problem for working mothers who need to pump or need childcare. How do you see that, Mo? What are the tensions there?
That is a great question. So some of the data that we've been collecting indicates that the time of their career where women officers first have children, if they choose to have children, is when they're on patrol. So exactly during that moment that you just mentioned. And the time where we're losing women officers is right around that time as well. One of the things that's made a really big difference in other policing agencies around the world is the introduction of job sharing or part-time options for parents who are returning to the workplace. Something like that, we believe, might actually dramatically improve the quality of life, not just for women officers, but for men officers who are recent parents as well.
I want to get your take from both of you on this. We heard from a caller in Waukesha, called in, couldn't stay to talk, but they want to express that they would like to see more women in policing. However, and this is what they really want to stress, they would never want their daughter to serve as a police officer. It's not about what she'll encounter in the public in policing. They're more worried about harassment and training, more worried about treatment on the force itself. Sabrina, what do you make of that sentiment?
You know, I think it's, you know, as a parent, you're always going to have concerns about your, you know, your daughter. Absolutely. I think where we're at today, from where we were, you know, let's say 40 years ago, or even 20 years ago, when I started my career, I think we've made huge strides. Obviously, there's still work to do. But I think as we add more women to policing, as we have other women in the workplace, as you know, coworkers and people that we can trust and talk to about things that are going on, you'll have a louder voice to speak up if you are feeling harassed in the workplace, if things like that are happening. And you know, I think that's taken really seriously in agencies and brought to the attention of administration and investigated. You know, something that maybe, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that just wasn't happening.
Mo, what is coming up for you when you hear this?
I mean, that is so completely understandable, that sentiment. And it's interesting, you know, we've asked women officers that we work with, would you want your daughter to go into the profession? And the answer tends to be a little bit mixed. I think one thing we're trying to do and one thing that we're seeing is that it should be increasingly clear to applicants in the police profession what type of agency they're applying to. So I am very confident there are agencies across this country that would be very supportive, nourishing environments for women who are just joining the workforce. I'm very confident the inverse is true too. And what we want to do is make it easier for people to understand exactly what they're signing up for.
Mo McGough, Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Policing Project at NYU School of Law, taking us through the 30 by 30 initiative. Detective Sabrina Sims with us of the Dane County Sheriff's Office. You too, you can join in. Do you think there are benefits to having more women on your local police force? When you're out and about, how often do you notice women law enforcement officers on the beat? Are you one? What's your experience like? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute, more conversation here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how to close the gender gap in policing on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nationally, women make up just 12% of sworn officers, 3% of police leadership in the U.S. And the 30 by 30 effort we've been talking about is trying to increase the representation of women in police recruit classes to 30% by 2030 and improve the culture for women and minorities inside agencies. Do you think law enforcement agencies should work harder to recruit more women? Does it matter? Do you think women want to work in law enforcement? 800-642-1234. Mo McGough co-founded the 30 by 30 initiative and is with the Policing Project at NYU. Detective Sabrina Sims is with the Dane County Sheriff's Office. They're here for the hour. Sabrina, you talked about the world we live in, and I'm just wondering, how is the murder of George Floyd, the Black Lives Matter movement, how has that affected you and affected your colleagues and police recruiting?
It definitely has. It's affected everyone, right? As it should. I think, you know, being a law enforcement officer, it affects us in multiple ways. One, as a law enforcement officer, and, you know, knowing what happened with George Floyd, and then also just as a human, as a citizen, it's upsetting twofold, really. I think, you know, it's so many things, again, that have happened in our country, the social unrest, the overall climate, just overall violence to one another in our community. I think all of those things have an impact on recruiting, people wanting to join law enforcement. But at the same time, like, despite all of that, I think it's brought up a lot of good conversations, like one we're having today. I think it's educating our community about what police officers do, you know, what reforms are needed in policing. And there really still are just passionate people that want to make a difference. You know, it takes a special person to become a law enforcement officer. But we're all, at the end of the day, we're all human. And we really just, we want to do that, make a difference in our community and help people. And there still are exceptional people that are, you know, joining law enforcement. I think we have some work to do. I think if we continue to diversify the force, you know, by adding women, by adding people in your community, samples of your community. I think policing, you know, will improve, continue to improve over time.
Mo, I want to bring up Kimberly Potter, the suburban Minneapolis police officer who was sentenced to 2 years in prison for fatally shooting Dante Wright last month. You know, Potter, who had meant to use a taser instead of her gun, and what happened after. And I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on that case and what you saw there?
That is such a great question. And I will tell you, you know, we launched the 30 by 30 initiative several weeks before Kim Potter shot Dante Wright. And understandably, that was sort of pointed out as a counterfactual to what it is that we're trying to achieve here. And I think it's really important to think critically about our sort of society's instinct to point out something like that as a counterfactual to all of the other really great and promising evidence about the unique value of women officers. You know, we're not saying that the 30 by 30 initiative is a panacea for all of the problems in policing, including lack of training, lack of mental health services. You know, the list goes on. But what we are saying is that what research is out there does indicate that there is a unique value of women officers. And they're uniquely valuable in the ways that we really care about at this particular moment in history. You know, they tend to use less force. They use less excessive force. They're named in citizen complaints and lawsuits proportionately less. They're perceived as more trustworthy and compassionate by diverse communities. They get better outcomes for crime victims, particularly victims of sexual assault. They use their discretion to make arrests less often in misdemeanor cases. They make fewer traffic stops, but when they do make a traffic stop, they're more likely to find a hit, to find contraband. You know, if there was a training out there that had such promising evidence supporting it, I think every department in this country would be clamoring for that training. We're just coming at it from a different way.
That is quite a list of evidence that you tick off there. But look at that 3%. That is a really abysmal percentage for women making captain, women making leadership roles and being able to affect change. Why is it so low?
So I think that is, I'm really glad you brought up that percentage of representation. I mean, part of what we're trying to do is really get in there, understand the culture, understand the failure points. You know we lose a lot of women when they have to choose between their family and their career at the time where they're on patrol. So we want to make sure that we're putting policies in place to address that. But the other thing is we can't just assume that this is a woman's issue and that it's only going to get better when we have more women at the top. 97% of the people who have that type of final decision-making authority in policing are men. And we really need men in that position to acknowledge the unique value of women officers and to step into their role as leaders and advocates for this kind of change.
Talking with Mo McGough, who's co-founder of the 30 by 30 initiative, and that's a nationwide effort to increase women in law enforcement. Sabrina Sims is here, the president of the Wisconsin Association of Women Police. You can join in with your thoughts on women in the force, 800-642-1234. Sabrina, what would you like to add there that Mo has said? I mean, we did bring up the Kimberly Potter case. What is coming up for you?
Specific to, you know, to that case, again, having that happen, and being a law enforcement officer and, you know, watching that video and watching, you know, everything that happened with the trial, you know, it just, it's upsetting on both ends of it. The things that happened in that situation, you know, I think, but Mo talks about some really positive things that women bring to the force as well. And I think all of the list that she talks about is really spot on. I think that women, we do bring a different perspective to law enforcement because of our different experiences, because of our unique characteristics that we have just as being a woman. You know, part of that, I think we, you know, we are more compassionate. We can be more compassionate than men. That's not to say that men can't be. But I think we bring unique communication skills to the job. You know, I can think of situations I've been in where I have to use my communication skills to buy time before I have backup. You know, sometimes depending on where you work, your backup could be 10 minutes away. So you have to use those communication skills to keep yourself safe. And then also, you know, a huge part of law enforcement is talking to people. Hmm. And not only talking to people, but listening to people. And I think women are really good listeners. I think we're good problem solvers. And I think that combination just brings a unique perspective to our profession.
That's interesting. We're talking with Sabrina Sims, leads the Wisconsin Association of Women Police, a detective and the co-founder of the 30 by 30 initiative and strategic initiatives chief for the policing project at NYU, Mo McGough. you can join in. Has your community discussed the 30 by 30 initiative, or is it pursuing other diversity goals in policing? What do you think is the low-hanging fruit here? What things could change in your force tomorrow? And what do you think of these programs? Are they affecting positive change, or maybe not even moving the needle? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up on the 30 by 30 initiative right after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the future of hiring more women into the police profession, departments committing to the 30 by 30 pledge. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to a Justice Department report from 2019, the percentage of women in law enforcement has remained relatively stagnant for the past few decades, making up about 12% of total officers and a much smaller proportion of leadership roles, as we've been talking about. And so this 30 by 30 is advancing the idea that you need at least 30% of women in an agency to help sustain the changes to support women in the agency in the future. Are you one of the few women in your police department? What is that like? Do you think efforts to attract more women to policing are productive? How would you prioritize this work of diversifying your police force? 800-642-1234. Detective Sabrina Sims with the Dane County Sheriff's Office is here, along with a co-founder of the 30 by 30 initiative, Mo McGough. They're here for the hour. Detective Sims was talking about, Mo, that communication, waiting for backup, super huge skills you need on the job. And law enforcement is a profession where your partner who gives you backup in a situation, that is the person who could save your life, who's going to help you handle a situation when it becomes more difficult for one person. And so you as a woman officer not only need to have the confidence in yourself, you have to trust that your backup has your back. So what about that trust when there is a climate issue for a woman in the department?
That is such a great question. And, you know, we've sort of heard both sides of the coin the more we go out and connect with people about this. You know, there are some people who advocate for a woman partner because they've had such good experiences serving alongside women officers. And then there are others who feel the exact opposite. And I think it's really important to really acknowledge the leadership and the sacrifices of women who are leading the way. You know, 12% is a really small number, and what they are asked to do is far above and beyond the standards of the profession. You know, what you just mentioned is hugely critical. And then you add on to that, you know, the culture of police departments, and not across the board, but, you know, there's some research out there that indicates that women respondents experienced sexual harassment at a rate of over 90%.
Wow.
Right. So when you think about the safety and the importance of trusting the people that you work with, it's particularly critical for women officers. And that's something that we're really prioritizing and addressing through 30 by 30.
So Detective Sabrina Sims, I mean, you work with women officers through the association from all around the state. And I'm wondering, for your you work in an agency that's a large agency, but what about women who are on smaller police departments? What do they tell you about what they experience on the job?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the great things about our organization, the Wisconsin Association of Women Police, is that, you know, it was founded for women, by women, to support, encourage, you know, mentor each other and recognize achievements. And when we get together, we have an annual training conference, and that's where we have the conversations with women. You know, my experience coming from my sheriff's office is 430 sworn officers, but you could still be in a room with another female officer who she's won the only officer and there's 10, you know, at her whole agency. And so it's nice to provide that space for those officers that come from smaller agencies so that they can have discussions, so they can, you know, look to other women for mentorship because they don't have that within their own agency. And, you know, the difficulties we face as women in a larger agency, it's even amplified more when you're the only woman. I think it's nice for them to talk with us at WAWP if they're looking to promote or looking for any type of support. If they're going to write for promotion, you know, we can assist women to do that. So yeah, it's just a nice, the WAWP is just nice, a nice place for women to come and talk with other women that are experiencing the same issues, have already gone through some of those issues. The board itself, you know, there's women that founded the organization in 1983. We still have board of trustees that attend our conferences and our board meetings. And so talking with them about the things they experienced years past, you know, it helps us, you know, grow as women and, you know, stand up and use our voice when we think something's wrong and know that we can make changes within the organizations.
What I'm hearing is that mentors are just huge. Having a mentor is really important. Is that right, Sabrina?
It is, you know, and just in even in preparation for today and looking back and thinking about my own career and the mentors that I've had that have been women and the friendships that I've gained because of my career, my job, from attending the WAWP conferences. It's just been huge in looking to women that, you know, have been on the force longer, seeing women in supervisor roles, seeing women do things, you know, to me, it gave me the confidence that I needed that, you know what, I can do that too. I can put in for that position. And I think the more supervisors that are women around the United States, once we gain more and more supervisors, I think younger officers, younger women that are joining the police force can see that and look, you know, look to that and think like, it's something that I can do as well. Because women are doing it all over the United States. It's just like Mo said, it's a level that is so low that I think we continue to have these conversations. You know, we continue to educate the public about it too, because even coming from within the law enforcement culture, when I got the numbers for my own department, you know, I'm kind of taken back by it. Like, and we're above the national average.
What were you taken aback by? What did you see there on the paper?
Well, so we have 430 sworn law enforcement officers. 90 of those are women. So we're at 21%. For our supervisor positions, we have a total of 53 supervisors and 10 of those are women. So that's 18%. You know, but sometimes I think just in my own experiences and the work group that I'm in, I work with a lot of women. So I guess I kind of forgot that we are a really large agency and really 10 female supervisors isn't a lot, but it is above the national average. Right. And so, I think we have to do better. I think we continue to promote women to positions. We're obviously capable of leading organizations. We do a great job. There's women out there doing amazing things. And I think we just need to have these conversations and educate administrators, you know, educate communities about the work that women are doing. And hopefully we recruit and encourage other women to, you know, follow in our footsteps.
Sabrina Sims, detective, new president of the Wisconsin Association of Women Police. Mo McGough with us, co-founder of the 30 by 30 initiative, this nationwide effort to increase women in law enforcement. You can join in. What is coming up for you if you're a woman in law enforcement? What gender-related challenges have you faced? What advice do you have for other women who want to pursue a career in law enforcement? 800-642-1234. So, Mo, you hear those numbers above the average, but there's still a lot more work to be done. And, you know, Sabrina saying that you really have to look around you for those role models, look above you and around you. What do you make of those numbers?
First, just I so appreciate everything Detective Sims just said. So thank you so much for that. You know, at 30 by 30, we have this mantra, you can't be what you can't see. Right. So I think it really is about sort of uplifting the progress that is happening around the country. You know, for the entire month of March, for Women's History Month, we're really focusing on celebrating sort of the historic promotions that are happening around the country. You know, the thing about American policing is we've got 18,000 different law enforcement agencies, no national standards or governing bodies. So these innovations, these progress, they're happening at the local level, but it's really important to sort of lift that up and celebrate it and show that the way is being paved and there is momentum and really capitalizing on that.
When you talked about some changes that agencies can make right away, like properly fitting gear and making sure there's a lactation room, I mean, those are some basic HR issues. What else is there that needs to be addressed? And maybe it is along the human resources spectrum, or maybe it's something else. But to me, I mean, those seem to be very basic, human resources issues.
So, you know, it really runs the spectrum. There absolutely are basic issues, but they're important issues. And when you take the effort to address them, it sends a very, very important message. You know, the reality is that policing in this country was historically developed by white men, and that the policies and procedures in place need to be examined because they might not necessarily address the unique needs of people who are not white men. It's not even necessarily intentional. You know, I think there might be a tendency to get a bit defensive if you are a leader on the inside, but we're just acknowledging that it just needs to be examined. Let's take a look at it. Let's try and diagnose where these problems exist. So in addition to these very basic, foundational HR steps, the other thing we're really focusing on is helping agencies diagnose where they might be unintentionally disproportionately impacting women. So there's really fascinating research actually out of the FDNY, so an analogous sort of first responder body. And they found that when they removed the application fee, it was $30, they saw an improvement in diversity of applicants across race, ethnicity, and gender of over 80%. So they went out to people and they say, why didn't you apply until you got the waiver for the fee? And it wasn't that people can't afford the $30. It's just that they didn't see themselves in the profession and they felt like, why waste the cash? So, you know, the FDNY, they didn't need that $30 requirement. They put it there to make sure that applicants were serious. So they waived it. So helping police departments try and track their data better and understand how their policies and practices might be unintentionally impacting women and diverse applicants is really important.
We are talking about the 30 by 30 initiative with Mo McGough, who's Director of Strategic Planning for the Policing Project at NYU School of Law. Detective Sabrina Sims here of the Dane County Sheriff's Office. Still time to talk. Do you think women handle tense situations differently and have a unique perspective on certain situations involving when the police are called? What data or outcomes are you interested in asking about here? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up, be back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the National 30 by 30 initiative, this effort to increase the representation of women in police departments to at least 30% by 2030. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Here in Wisconsin, the agencies that have signed on are in a clustered area. Dane County Sheriff's Office, which is in our presence with Detective Sims. Also on the list, Fitchburg, Madison, Middleton, and the UW-Madison Police Department. So is your law enforcement agency planning to follow suit? Why do you think the percentage of women in the profession has stalled out for decades? What barriers hold back diversity? Still time, 800-642-1234. Detective Sabrina Sims and 30 by 30 co-founder Mo McGough are with us for about 10 more minutes. I want to bring up physical fitness because it's been an issue in the past, Mo. Are women being dismissed from the police academy training or, you know, because of the strength requirement? What do you see about tensions around the physical makeup of women?
I am so glad you brought this up. I think it's something that's really important to explore. And this entire initiative exists because my co-founder, Captain Roman, was seeing disproportionate numbers of women being dismissed from academy for physical fitness requirements in New Jersey. And I think the sort of misperception around physical fitness requirements is one of the most problematic aspects of trying to get this work done. So I will say in 30 by 30, we have received overwhelmingly positive support, but to the extent that people have pushed back, it's the misconception that we are trying to lower the standards of policing when we talk about things like physical fitness that might disproportionately wash out women. And what we're advocating for is that assessments, particularly things like physical fitness assessments, just be validated for the actual requirements of the job. You know, Detective Sims did a great job of explaining how much time a police officer spends talking to people. Mm-hmm. And sort of the critical elements of de-escalation, they have nothing to do with a person's physical ability. So let's start getting accurate about the skills and abilities necessary to be a good, fair, effective police officer. Certainly there are some aspects of it that require a certain level of physical fitness, but are we measuring the right thing? Is the standard correct? It all needs to be validated. And that's what we're advocating for. My co-founder tells some great stories about some, you know, really sort of fraught experiences that she was in. And she has this great quote where she says, you know, I've arrested thousands of people in my career and I never got in a push-up contest with them before I did it. So why are we washing people out for that requirement?
Detective Sims, you know, how do you respond to that? That women in law enforcement are limited, more limited due to their strength or physicality or their push-ups?
Yeah, I think, Mo really does hit that on the head with the push-up thing. But, you know, I think on one hand, we should, all police officers should be held to a physical fitness standard, right? You want to be in shape so that you can survive not only your day, but your career. I think overall, just overall mental health wellness and physical wellness are important, very important actually, for police officers because of all the things that we go through, because of the adrenaline that, you know, one particular call may have. And then, you know, you're back sitting in your squad car. So I think it's an overall wellness picture that we need to look at. I think part of the physical fitness testing, you know, I think agencies are looking at that to change some of those requirements, to change it from just, you know, push-ups, sit-ups to what are things that police officers going to experience in their career? What, you know, so challenging them with a test of, you know, core strength in a different way, putting on equipment, getting out of your squad car, maybe, you know, if you have to climb over a fence, are you necessarily, you know, excluded from the job because you can't run, you know, a mile and a half in a certain amount of time, you know, because more often than not, we're not chasing someone for a mile and a half. So I think it's something that could be looked at, should be looked at. And I think some of those changes are happening at different academies, you know, so that we don't lose women, or, you know, or men that, you know, could have the potential to be really good officers, just might have a little bit more difficulty with physical fitness. And I think part of that, like we talked about, is because there's so much to the job besides your physical fitness. There are so many different things that we have to be, you know, proficient and excel at, and physical fitness is just one of them.
Let's bring on a caller now. Gloria is joining us from Madison. Gloria, hi. What is on your mind? What's coming up?
Yeah, I know. This is a great conversation. I am a former law enforcement officer for the Madison Police Department. And when I was there, we actually did a preliminary equity analysis. It wasn't professionally done. It was done by myself and a few other officers, and surveyed law enforcement officers of color and women on how they felt the culture was within the police department. And we found some really great suggestions that came out of that. One of the things was women who are in law enforcement who want to become mothers, and how do we support women as they come back into the workforce after having a baby, and in an effort to retain them. And so having lactation rooms, having the support system needed for women. But then also what we found was during the recruitment process was the barriers of the physical fitness as you discussed, and But what we did was we established, because the Madison Police Department does have their own recruitment process and mm-hmm. training, was that we did a trial run. And so we offered, a trial sort of physical fitness day where they could come and, go through a physical fitness test.
See what it's like.
See where they were. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it really, really worked. And so I think, the caller, your speaker today who talked about really evaluating your policies and practices through an equity lens to ensure that you don't have any unintended consequences is really important.
Mo McGough, what do you hear there in what Gloria is saying? And just look, their department looking internally for solutions.
First of all, Gloria, thank you so much for that and for your service in Madison. I will say we look to Madison fairly often because for many, many years, Madison has had a significantly higher representation of women than the national average. And they've done a really fantastic job of really highlighting the success of their women officers and their recruitment materials. So I'm thrilled to hear that internal survey was done. I think it's really important to remember that some of the greatest sources of solutions can be the women who are currently on the job. You know, they're experiencing the barriers every day. They've got the ideas about how the barriers can be mitigated. And, through 30 by 30, we encourage that every agency do a survey and do focus groups with the women you have to understand what their priorities are and specifically design solutions to meet them. And I'm thrilled to hear that Madison did that.
I like the idea of running a trial physical fitness test just to see what it's like. I mean, just, even out of curiosity, Mo, what do you think there?
So I think that's fantastic. And the other thing to note, too, is that something like physical fitness can be trained. So we're really encouraging agencies to step away from that physical fitness requirement as a barrier to immediate entry and instead look at, a lot of what the military does is they wait to do the types of assessments until the end of academy so that people have been trained throughout. Mm. That's the success that my co-founder had in New Jersey. When she saw they were losing women on the physical fitness assessment on the front end, she just started training people before they applied. And she saw a significant increase in applicants being successfully selected that way.
Well, Detective Sabrina Sims, you have the last word here. What's on your mind as we close out?
No, I just think I'm so thankful to have this conversation with you both today. And thank Gloria for calling in. I think, just as just a woman, being a woman, I think, we all tend to have part of our traits is to doubt ourselves. And sometimes we're our own worst critics. But I think that seeing other women in leadership roles and seeing other women doing things that have been done for the first time really is encouraging, and seeing other women be successful in leadership roles, really it makes a difference, and it has different women looking up towards you and thinking, you know what, she's doing it, I can do it. And I guess my words to women are, we can do anything. We're capable of anything. Just keep working hard, set goals, and really we can accomplish anything we put our minds to.
Oh, thank you both for joining us. Detective Sabrina Sims, Dane County Sheriff's Office, President of the Wisconsin Association of Women Police. Mo McGough, Chief of Strategic Initiatives for the Policing Project at NYU. We have links at wpr.org/mornings here on the Ideas Network.